Good morning, and welcome to the fourth quarter 2018 Gentera's conference call. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Majós, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Gentera for the fourth quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that with this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Majós for his presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. As always, we really appreciate your interest in our quarterly report. In this call, we will address three main topics. One, I will talk about our 2019 plan and strategy. Two, Patricio will tell you about the results of Banco Compartamos and the microfinance industry in Mexico. Three, Mario will provide more detailed information on the group's financials. Afterwards, we will be glad to have a Q&A session. Let me start by talking about Gentera 2018 results. I want to tell you that after a year full of big challenges and accomplishments, we are very proud about our 2018 results. We surpassed the original guidance given at the beginning of the year. We appreciate the support by many shareholders that continue believing in us, even though the uncertain and difficult times during the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018 in Gentera. We are happy to say that we delivered, especially by recovering growth in our customer base and achieving, again, double-digit growth in portfolio. Things were not looking good at the end of 2017. For the first time in our history, we were losing customers and portfolio in Mexico. However, since the beginning of last year, we established a specific recovery plan that was designed and executed by our management team with outstanding results. To mention a few facts, after 20 months of losing customers in Mexico, by the end of the year, we grew our customer base by 5.6%, attracting more than 90,000 clients during the second semester. We also grew our portfolio by 3.6 billion pesos for Gentera, which means an 11% on a year-to-year basis. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Patricio Diez de Bonilla and his management team for the flawless execution of the plan we established a year ago. In addition to the successful execution of our recovery plan in Mexico, Peru accomplished impressive growth results, driven by the big market opportunity we see in the group lending microcredit market in Peru. As we reported last year, in Peru, we reached the half million customers mark in April 2018 and finished the year with 610,000 clients. By the end of the year, Peru accomplished 24% growth in portfolio and 28% growth in clients. We believe that the foundation of a solid management team in a high-potential financial market has been the key for a successful expansion and diversification strategy for the group in Peru. As of the fourth quarter 2018, Peru represented 33% of Gentera's total portfolio and 16% of profits. In 2017, these numbers were 30% and 7%. This is a statement of how important and well executed has been our entry into this market. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Ralph Guerra, our CEO in Compartamos Financiera Peru, and his team for the extraordinary results that they have achieved so far. And by the way, after not growing in Guatemala in 2017, our management team achieved a double-digit growth again in 2018. So also congratulations to Adolfo Peniche, our CEO at Compartamos Guatemala. It has taken us 7 years, and going back to Peru, it has taken us 7 years for Peru to have a significant weight in our results. This is the type of patience that one has to have as management when you enter into new initiatives. I assume, and I assure that you in a few years will be looking about, or we will be reporting about other initiatives that we are launching today, and we will have the same good results to report. Low NPLs have been another key element in the equation to Gentera 2018 results. The quality of the portfolio in our three markets, Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, is in great shape. Total NPL for the group was 2.73%. We have not seen this end-of-year NPLs since 7 years ago. So the last time we had this kind of levels of NPL was in 2011. This represents a very positive indicator that will allow us to continue growing with confidence. Besides, better levels of NPLs also allowed us to save more than 900 million pesos in cost of provisions during 2018. It is also important to mention that for the first time in our history, our expense growth rate was within a single-digit range with an 8.8%. Yet, we believe there are opportunities for improvement in our cost structure, and for 2019, we expect to generate positive income-to-expense growth rate. Let me now talk about Gentera's 2019 plan and strategy. After a very challenging year, we are now in a much better position to capture opportunities to grow. We feel very enthusiastic about a promising 2019 due to the following four elements. First, we believe we have a big market opportunity that still exists in the three countries in which we operate. Our guidance for 2019 for Gentera is to grow our portfolio between 17 and 19%, and EPS will be between 1.85 and 1.95. Second element, we are bringing a better value proposition for our customers. We have improved our products and processes, which will bring a double-digit growth in our customer base during this year. Part of the better value proposition for our customers will come by reducing our interest rate on average between 300 and 500 basis points. This will take place mostly in the group lending methodology. This will slightly reduce our financial margin, but however, it will place us in a stronger position to keep growing our market share in Mexico especially. The third element is that the transformation of our credit business model will also start bringing benefits. We are working hard on finding efficiencies in our core processes and improving them through the use of digital technology. And fourth, as I mentioned, positive jobs will show that our income growth rate will be higher than our expense growth rate by the end of this year. Our strategy for 2019 is to put all our efforts in creating more value to our credit customers, providing them with the insurance, savings, and payments opportunities created around the credit products. We are sure that this will improve their financial experience with Compartamos, and at the same time will help us to capture a larger share of wallet from every customer. We firmly believe that with this strategy, we are in the right path to provide our customers a better experience, maintaining a double-digit growth in our portfolio, and at the same time, improving the efficiency of our operation. We really believe 2019 is going to be a year of great opportunities for our business and for our industry. Historically, times of uncertainty have always been an opportunity for us to provide our customers with financial products to maintain their business running. We are aware of the government's plans and programs and the particular orientation that they have in creating additional opportunities for millions of Mexicans. This, by the way, is totally aligned with Gentera's foundation purpose. We have studied each of those proposals, and we see a lot of synergies between the government and the financial industry. Increasing financial inclusion in Mexico and better serving the unbanked population are clear common goals we share with the Mexican government, and we believe we can make important contributions to achieve those goals. Let me now talk about the other business units we have in Gentera. Yastas continue to provide convenience to our customers. During 2018, we received more than 15 million payment transactions, of which 44% were financial transactions, and the rest were cell phone top-ups or bill payments. By December 2018, Yastas had over 3,000 transactional points that offer the option of processing more than 60 different kinds of bill payments. Aterna, our microfinance insurance broker, processed 19.6 million insurance policies during 2018, which represented an 8.2% growth compared with the previous year. Intermex, our remittances provider, handled more than 25 billion pesos in payments, which represented a 7.6% growth compared to 2017. And at the end of the fourth quarter 2018, Intermex had more than 2,700 payment points. Regarding our investments in Concredito, we continue participating in the company's dynamic with two seats in their board. This has given us the opportunity to learn more about their business model and at the same time get involved in some decisions. We continue to be very excited about this investment and its synergies with Gentera. As you already know, we start to consolidate this company into Gentera's starting from June 2020. Once we have a majority stake in the company. And after turning the call, before turning the call to Patricio Diez de Bonilla, let me just comment about an agreement from yesterday's Gentera's board meeting. Yesterday, our board of directors approved to propose in the next shareholders meeting to be held in April an ordinary dividend payment of 20% to be paid no later than July 31st, 2019. The board will review in October 2019 the possibility of an additional dividend payout depending on the capital needs of 2020. We see a relevant growth opportunity in the months ahead. As such, we want to capture these opportunities while assuring our investment grade for the bank, which is a strong asset for the group. Maintaining a strong capitalization rate has been a long-term strategy since it has allowed us to fund the business regardless of the economic cycles, and more so when we expect double-digit growth for the year ahead. As you can see, we have a great year ahead, and to provide you more detailed information, let me now turn the call to Patricio Diez de Bonilla, our CEO of Banco Compartamos.
Thank you, Enrique. I will now review Banco Compartamos' performance prior to the financials. As we mentioned in the previous conference call, the recovery plan was expected to show positive trends until the second semester of 2018. After strategic decisions that we made at the end of the 2017 and during 2018, we are pleased to highlight some of the improvements that we continue seeing during the fourth quarter. During this quarter, we grew again in the number of customers served, finalizing the year with over 2.48 million customers, representing more than 50,000 additional customers compared with the third quarter 2018. Considering this growth in clients and the growth experienced in third quarter 2018, during the second semester, we grew more than 93,000 customers. It is a relevant figure because for us, it reflects that, as signaled in the previous conference call, the customers are coming back to the bank due to the perceived benefits of the financial products and services that we improved during the year. Customer retention rate continued in very solid levels, and now we are moving at 85% compared to the low 80s 1 year ago. Growth can be seen in every product, and as we anticipated in our third quarter conference call, the growth momentum in the fourth quarter of this year helped us to finalize the year in a better position than 1 year ago. On the portfolio side, demand for credit was solid during the quarter. We grew 3.7% compared to the previous quarter and 5.6% growth if you compare the portfolio versus 2017. The result obtained in 2018 is reflection of the operational adjustments and commercial decisions made, which are now gaining traction. Let me recap some of them. First, strong focus on enhancing our product offering, improving our credit origination process, and monitoring activities. The latter related to weekly or bi-weekly visits to the customer group meetings. Second, change in the incentives of the sales force focused on service and asset quality. And third, a strong commercial proposition that will allow us to grow the customer base in a more solid way. The implementation of all these initiatives have been focused and effective. Another highlight of the year has been asset quality. Due to a stricter credit origination and monitoring processes, in Banco Compartamos, write-offs in 2018 decreased 38.4% from 3.6 billion pesos in 2017 to 2.2 billion pesos in 2018. And NPL is now at 2.6%, which is better to the 3.3% level reached at the end of 2017. Finally, employee turnover also showed very positive trends, finalizing the year in 26%, which is the best ratio ever seen in 28 years of history of the company. This reflects a positive work environment for our more than 16,000 employees in Mexico. In addition, due to the lower turnaround of employees, we can be more effective on the service side with customers, as we have more experienced personnel in front of them and should reflect solid customer retention. All in all, after more than 18 months of facing different challenges, now operational dynamics and financial metrics are improving, and we expect to have a 2019 year with better trends in most metrics and with stronger credit demand, as was previously signaled by Enrique Mayos. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Mario Langarica to review Gentera's financials.
Thank you, Patricio, and thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. In the fourth quarter, interest income stood at 5.58 billion pesos, representing a 6% increase compared to 4Q17. The interest income increase observed this year-to-year comparison is very relevant, as this is the first positive result after four consecutive quarters of annual contractions. This result was mainly driven by a larger loan portfolio in 4Q18 compared to 4Q17 and a larger contribution of Compartamos Financiera y Gentera's consolidated interest income. Interest expense grew 40.1% compared to 4Q17. This increase is mainly explained by 1. The increase in Banco Compartamos portfolio, 2. The 3 million pesos in extra liquidity that Banco Compartamos took at the end of November, 3. The 100 basis points increase in the reference rate in Mexico, and 4. The 24% increase in Compartamos Financiera portfolio. Net interest income showed a 3.6% increase compared to 4Q17, with a net interest margin of 49.7%, representing a contraction compared to the 54.1% achieved in 4Q17. This result was mainly driven by Banco Compartamos extra liquidity and a smaller contribution of these subsidiaries in Gentera's consolidated portfolio, which represented 64.7% at the end of 4Q versus 68.3% in 4Q17. If Gentera hadn't had the additional liquidity described above, and NIM before provisions for 4Q18 should have stood around 51.5%. As we already mentioned, asset quality is improving, with provisions decreasing 22.8% compared to 4Q17. Net interest margin after provisions stood at 42.3%, a similar level compared to 42.7% reaching 3Q, and slightly 3Q18, and slightly below the 43.4 ratio obtained in 4Q17. However, as previously explained in NIMBY for provisions, this ratio after provisions was also affected by the extra liquidity taken in November. If Banco Compartamos hadn't had this extra liquidity, Gentera's NIM after provisions in 4Q18 should have stood around 43.9%. The cost of risk for the quarter stood at 8.7%, and for the full year 2018 stood at 8.22%, which, as already mentioned in the previous conference call, this ratio ended the year below our original expectation and was a key element that helped us in our decision of moving upwards net income and EPS guidance for this year last quarter. Fee income during the quarter decreased 3.2% to amount 360 million pesos compared to 4Q17. This contraction is mainly explained by a smaller figure generated in late payment fees charged to clients with delinquent loans at Banco Compartamos, which in this 4Q contracted 19.4% compared to 4Q70, due to better customer performance in asset quality than in 2017. Fees and commissions that were generated at other subsidiaries or by cross-sell of other products also contributed to this line. Fee expenses increased 20.6%, mainly due to the flexibility that we gave back to our clients to use third-party infrastructure to execute their credit disbursements and payments at their convenience. Net commission fees showed an 11.4 contraction compared to the figure reached at the end of 4Q17. Operating expenses grew 1.6% compared to 4Q17 and 8.8% on a year-to-year basis. A single-digit growth for the first time since Gentera's consolidated financial statements. As we explained in previous call, this increase was mainly driven by a change in sales force compensation, more fixed than variable, the incentive program for the sales force described before, marketing initiatives to attract and reward good customer performance, and infrastructure. It is important to mention that for 2019, we will maintain a strict control in operating expenses growth in order to achieve for the second consecutive year a single-digit growth below 8%. More emphasis in cost control will be put in Mexico, since Peru is still having a very strong expansion and we have plans to scale to a national level. The efficiency ratio for the quarter stood at 81.6%, and for the full year at 77.5%, compared to 75.9% in 2017. In 2017, Gentera closed 2018 with an accumulated net income of 2,990 million pesos, including non-recurring income of 186 million pesos, representing a net 1.8 growth compared to 2017. Excluding the non-recurring income, the net income for the year would have had a contraction compared to 2017. In 2018, raw return on equity stood at 7.1% and return on assets at 6.3%, which are slightly below the 17.7% and 7% respectively achieved in 2017, but align with our expectations for a challenging year for the company. Thank you. That is all for our presentation, operator. Please, operator, can we move forward to the Q&A session?
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Again, that was star 1 to ask a question. As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star 1 at this time for any questions. Our first question comes from Manuel Gonzalez of Signum Research.
Yeah, hi. Good morning to everyone. Congratulations to the administration for the good results in the quarter. I had a question regarding the net interest margin. I see there's a decrease that has extended for quite some periods, and I see it has to do something with this extra liquidity requirements. My question is, are we going to see this going forward, or is there a strategy to lift up this indicator?
In terms of extra liquidity, we took some measures to be more comfortable in terms of liquidity. We have now in the balance sheet 100% of the funding secured for 2019 growth. So as growth materializes throughout the year, we expect this excess liquidity to come down. Also, we will be playing with the balance sheet, refinancing some debt. Just to be very clear, the excess liquidity that we finalize the year is to secure the funding that we require for the growth expectations for 2019. And as the growth materializes, it will come down in the months ahead.
Okay. And regarding the net interest margin, can we expect to see like a little stabilization towards the future?
In terms of NIM, as one of the commercial strategies that we put in front of the customers, we've been reducing the rates of certain products to the most important customers as a benefit of being part of Banco Compartamos. With that strategy, we plan to be the best offering for credit financing in Mexico. Due to this effort, the NIM or the active rate of the bank will come down. However, in a NIM after provision basis, due to the good asset quality that we are having, it will not be one-to-one impact. So today you are seeing the bulk of this impact. It should normalize throughout the year.
I would like to add a couple of comments. Another important aspect of this is that, as you know, Peru is having more participation in the portfolio, and margins in Peru are a little lower than in Mexico. And just for you to have the full numbers, what we expect, and just to tell you, is for 2018, the margins, the margin before provisions amounted to 49.1 in before provisions, and excluding the liquidity effect, it would have been 51%. And the NIM after provisions was 42.2, and excluding the liquidity effect, it would have been 43.8.
Okay, that's quite clear. Thank you very much. Can I just make another quick question? Regarding to the asset qualities, I remember reading in the press release that you expect the NPL to go up a little bit in the future quarters due to, I guess, some product dynamics or something. Can you imagine, like, how much would it rise?
Right. And in terms of in terms of asset quality, I mean, you need to bear in mind that throughout the year, there's some seasonality. The first quarter, no, January, February, normally picks up a little bit due to the economic dynamics of such months. But all in all, at least most of the NPLs in Mexico, what we expect is to maintain the current levels, which we think are adequate. So you shouldn't expect at Gentera's level nothing material in that regard. Around 3% NPL for the year should be something that you should look after.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Peru is now representing a larger part of the portfolio. Gentera is 33%. So it's relevant to mention that Peru might have the same dynamic that Patricio is explaining for Mexico. So I think it's going to be pretty stable.
Okay. Yes, so thank you and congratulations again.
Thank you, Manuel.
Our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia of Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Have you had any dialogue with the new administration regarding the how your services can complement with the new social programs that are being proposed?
Sure, yes. Let me tell you that since the new government took office, Gentera has been close to different public institutions and authorities. To find different ways to collaborate jointly to increase the financial inclusion and national goals. So just to provide some examples, we are actively participating in the program Jóvenes Construyendo el Futuro, and we will receive around 1,000 young people here in Banco Compartamos in Mexico. We are ready, and we are working with the ABM, the Asociación de Bancos de México, on this, and things are going pretty well there, and we are very excited about receiving these people. We also offered our debit accounts for disbursement to Bansefi platform, and the use of Yastas transactional points, which, by the way, is a Bansefi official correspondent, is something that has been in the interest of the government due to its convenience and presence in the last mile. In addition, we also are working on the digital code payment transaction initiative called CODI of Banco de Mexico. So as you can see, there are several opportunities to generate synergies and to help our government in the financial inclusion goals for Mexico.
in your dialogue.
Forward, I mean, the focus of this administration is to include financially those people that still are left behind, and I think that we are talking the same language there. No, the communication should be closed in the following months, and through the ABM, or individually. And we have been with open access with the Ministry of Finance. So the dialogue is open and the goals are aligned. Of course, the discussion in how to achieve such financial inclusion metrics is where we need to collaborate to find the best ways to serve more people in the Mexican market.
Yes, as you know, Gentera's purpose has always been financial inclusion, and I think the government is very interested on this, and I believe we can help. So I believe that we have a huge and strong common motivation, so we are very excited about this.
And in your dialogue with the authorities, has there been any mention or let's say encouragement for you to reduce the interest rates that you charge, and how receptive have they been to the point that the relatively high interest rate that you charge is a reflection of the required structure, which is obviously quite expensive?
Even if we know that this is something that has not been in the table of discussion and we haven't talked about interest rate caps, as members of the Mexican Banks Associations, we are very close to the conversations around the fees and commission with legislators, which is something that it is in the table. And we don't feel that there is a high risk at this point. And additionally, we all know that our president announced that he doesn't see any change related with this, I mean commissions and fees, within the following 3 years. So we feel comfortable that we have a close communication with the government, legislators, our regulators, and I think that being close, talking about these topics, maintain our expectations in a good shape.
Understood. Thank you very much for the caller.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Neha Ardawala of AUPC.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. This is Neha from HSBC. My first question is regarding some sort of guidance. In 2018, you mentioned you expect about 10.5 for your cost of risk, and the number was slightly lower than that. What should we expect for 2019 in terms of cost of risk? What should we expect in terms of the efficiency ratio that you're targeting for the group? I know you see more improvements in Mexico, but what should we expect for the group? And my second question is on the target market. Peru is becoming increasingly important for Gentera. What is the target market in Peru in terms of total number of clients that you see? So that gives us an estimate of how much growth we can expect. And is the strategy in Peru any different from Mexico? Anything there that is worth noting, which is different? And also if you could tell us again about your target, the size of the target market in Mexico as well. That would be very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nea. Let me start with the second question, and then Mario will address the first one. Talking about Peru, yes, we are really excited and we are happy that our strategy of going to other latitudes has worked. The strategic decision was that we wanted to have a cross-fertilization between the individual lending market and the group lending methodology. Since we believe that here in Mexico we had a lot of experience in the group lending and in Peru had a lot of experience in the individual lending. So what we are looking at now in Peru is the result of that strategic plan, in which the growth is coming not only because of the individual clients, but mostly from the group lending clients. Just to give you some figures, but last year I already explained that we grew in portfolio in Peru around 24%, and from this 24%, 50% comes from the good lending clients portfolio, and the 20% from the individual portfolio. So looking ahead, I can tell you that this strategy is working. I think that we are also accomplishing our purpose of financial inclusion for a segment in Peru that has not been served before because the group lending methodology was not in place there. And we believe that for the next year, we will have growth above 20% again.
And in terms of Mexico, when we talk about the addressable market, and if you see any figure for financial inclusion, you realize that the market is very large still in Mexico. We have estimated a market for working capital loans in Mexico of around 90 million people. Of those currently served, there are around 5 to 6 million. So the opportunity in Mexico remains very large, still very large, and we think we can achieve still interesting growth in the coming years.
And regarding your questions about the guidance, we expect to be in levels of around 8% in cost of risk for 2019, and our efficiency ratios would be between 76 and 78%.
That was the efficiency ratio, 76 to 78.
Right.
Okay. And any change in the tax rate that we should expect?
The corporate tax rate in Mexico is 30%, and the dynamics that you have seen are more related to certain mechanics of tax mechanics in Mexico, and that was the effect that you saw in the last quarter. But in reality, we should always expect between 29 and 30% of tax rate.
Okay. And also, could you please give us a number on Peru? What is the number of clients that you can target in Peru? And how many have you already touched in some form?
As I said, in Peru now we have a little bit above 600,000 clients in total, and we believe that for the next year we're going to be growing around 20%. So I think that will give you the numbers.
Okay, thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Rodrigo Ortega.
Hi, everyone. I think my questions have already been answered. Thank you for the opportunity. Bye.
Thank you.
And
as a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star 1 at this time for any questions. Our next question comes from Jason Mullen of DB.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Hi. Thank you. My question is related to your guidance as well. I mean, you've now given us some expectations for portfolio growth on average in the three markets, 17 to 19. You're saying you're going to grow in Peru above 20. I guess we have an implicit number for Mexico. And I wanted to see if that's mostly going to come again from group lending. But I wanted to see if you could provide more color on this concept of reducing rates by 300 to 500 basis points. How is this? Is this already happening? How is this going to happen? How should we expect this? Is that, if we look at the other numbers you've talked about, is that how we get to this EPS of 1.85 pesos to 1.95? Obviously, the growth is much less than what we see in terms of portfolio growth, and I imagine it's coming from this lower margin. If you could provide us some color, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. This is Patricio. In terms of margins or the active rate, if you remember in 2016 and 17, when NPL went up a little bit, we increased the active rate for the products at the bank to maintain margins, and that, of course, had an impact in the market, in the customer satisfaction, and again, was a rational measure because the rates were going up, and as well the NPL was going up, so it was a tool to maintain the margins as solid as we need to cope with the operating expenses. 12 months ahead, we've been improving a lot in terms of cost of risk. Therefore, we were more aggressive in getting the rates where they were to the market. And again, we are not doing something throughout the customer base. We are playing with the best customers with larger tickets in order to give them a stronger benefit to keep them with Banco Compartamos for a longer period of time. So this is a commercial strategy that we started in August last year, and this is something that we will maintain in 2019. And going forward, we really think that we want to have the best commercial or credit alternative in the Mexican market to gain market share locally. Now, we've been very successful. The market share that we lose throughout 2017, we are gaining it back. We are now like 50% market share in the microfinance industry. We were down at 45%. So it was a strategy that is paying back. And the rate, regardless of going down, what we expect to pay off is volume because of number of customers jumping into Banco Compartamos, as well as larger tickets to increase the share of wallet of each individual with Banco Compartamos rather than having different credit offerings for one single person.
Hey, that's helpful. Perhaps on the cost of funds, and I mean, it seems as if you're not as focused on the deposit side, raising deposits. We actually saw, it looked like those number of clients for savings and insurance going down a little bit. Is that a trend we should continue to expect, or should that turn around? And is there still an opportunity in management's view for 2019, 2020 on gathering deposits from customers, clients? Thanks.
Let me talk about the strategy of deposits. No, we were very aggressive in 2016 and 17 to grow the customer base, right? That created certain friction in the origination process for credit, and that was one of the reasons why we were losing customers in 2017. The focus that we have today is, yes, we want to have the saving account. But it's optional whether you want to open the account or not. So we are not so pushy, if you will, in terms of gaining new accounts, but to serve the actual credit customers with debit capabilities that they didn't have 24 months ago. So the rationale in terms of funding is in savings, it's to be able to have the product and to allow the customer to decide whether they want to increase their balance rather than finding additional saving with different sectors or with aggressive commercial strategies that could put pressure in the origination process. So all in all, what you see today in terms of funding, which currently funds like 18% of the Mexican portfolio, but something that should remain stable in at least 2019 and 20.
And to complement Patricio's comments, I would tell you that, as you know, for the last couple of or 3 years, we started taking a strategy to fix part of the funding costs. As of today, as you can see, we have 7.6% in Mexico funding costs compared to TIIE, that is around 8.5%. So that has been a strategy that we follow in the past. In our plans, we are expecting a 25 basis point increase in Mexico. And anyhow, if rates stabilize or start coming down, we have either the option to prepay some of the fixed funding or either throw them through the use of derivatives.
Thank you very much.
With no questions in queue, the question and answer session concludes. I will now hand the call over to the management of the company for final remarks.
Thank you, operator. Well, thank you for your interest. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and update you about what we are doing in Gentera, which always excites us a lot, and we love what we do. As we have pointed out in our messages during the call, we firmly see an exciting year ahead, and we feel very comfortable by saying that we have a solid operation that is stronger than ever due to the execution of the challenges that we faced last year and a solid strategy plan for 2019. So thank you very much. Thank you for your attention, and have a nice day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.